Take your Bibles, if you would, Luke chapter 11. And if you'd like to stick your finger over in Matthew chapter 6 as well, you can do that. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able, Luke chapter 11. And we're just going to read verses 1 through 4. And then we're going to go over to Matthew chapter 6. And we'll read a little bit there. Let's read these all together, if you would, please. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And when he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you'll go over to Matthew chapter 6, and let's begin in verse 9, and we'll read down through verse 13 together. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Well, here we are again talking about prayer. It should be no wonder to you. And so please fight the urge of saying, and hopefully this is not the case, but, you know, don't be the type that says, well, when are we going to stop talking about this particular topic? I'm still of this belief that this topic of prayer is not yet exhausted. Okay? And we really need to grab hold of it. And let me just pull the crowd just a little bit here. How many of you might be able to say that your idea of prayer has been enhanced or changed or altered because of the messages so far this year? Okay, anyone? Okay, a few of you. Good. I see most of you. That's great. And here's also another thing. We have just, as of yesterday, entered into the sixth month of the year. Everybody okay with that? All right. So by the end of this month, we will be halfway done with 2024 already. Okay. That's huge. Okay. So how many of you might be able to say this? And you don't have to raise your hands. It's okay. But if you want to, you can. But how many of you might be able to say that, Pastor, in 5 months, my prayer life is now better than it was 5 months ago? Anybody like that? Okay. And again, you don't have to raise your hand, but you can if you want to. As a testimony to God. Okay. We're not giving out ribbons or pins or prizes or anything like that. This is important. Okay. And so here's the thing. You may already understand all these things. The Bible has two ways to think about that. The things that we already understand, we're supposed to be reminded of. Right? Everybody okay with that? That's a Bible principle. We're supposed to remember. We're supposed to rehearse these things. We're supposed to practice these things lest we forget them. Right? Everybody okay with that? And how many of you know the phrase, if you don't use it, you... Yeah, exactly. That's not a Bible verse, but it is a principle. Okay? So we need to understand that rehearsing this thing of prayer, and please keep in mind, as of right now, this is the theme that God laid on my heart for our local church this year. Okay? Perhaps God will lead me to a different theme and a different idea for next year. Let's just say that's the truth, okay? So we spend a whole year honing a very important skill. What does that do for us as Christians? A lot of good, right? What does that do for us as a church? A lot of good. I don't know how many of you are familiar with education, but I am quite familiar with education. Okay, There's something that I teach teachers in Bible college, and it's this phrase. Repetition is the key to learning. All right, let me say that again. I love doing that. That's so much fun. Repetition is the key to learning. And listen, that's a Bible principle. We're supposed to repeat these things. We're supposed to do this because God knows our frame. He knows how we work. And listen, I'm built this way, maybe just like you are, but I'm the kind that's out of sight, out of mind. Anybody like that? I'm like that. Listen, I don't try to forget people. I don't. I like each and every one of you. I really can say that. Okay? But I get caught up in the moment. Who gets caught up in the moment? Okay? That's my personality. My personality is a totally caught up in the moment personality. Okay? People say squirrel and I look around. You know, where is it? Where? My poor wife, she has to live with me. Well, I guess she couldn't. She didn't have to. She didn't want to. But she so desperately wants me to pay attention to her, and I do most of the time. Some of the time. But you know, how many of you have this battle that I have? It's hard for me to pay attention. Okay, you can call it ADHD or whatever. I don't know what you want to call it. Whatever you want to call it, but. We'll be out on a date. What's the purpose of a date? To spend time with her, right? To talk to her, look at her. What do I end up doing? Watching everybody else. Okay? Because that's what I do. I'm distracted. So please understand, we need to focus on God. We need to be drawn back in, reminded about this thing of prayer, taught about this thing of prayer, if you will, get it to where it becomes what our life is about. Okay, we're not there yet. There's a message that we'll be talking about soon. It's this thing of pray without ceasing. Okay, that's a command in Scripture, by the way. You say, what does that mean? Well, it means a lot. But here's how we're trying to get. How many of you have to actually think about breathing? Anyone? All right? How many of you have to think about your heart pumping blood throughout your body? All right? How many of you actually have to think about the different nerves and functions of the body that, if you will, are involuntary, happen automatically? Anybody have to say, okay, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. And then if you get distracted by something, you're like, no, nobody has that problem, right? I hope not. If it does, we need to call 911. Okay. When will prayer become that for us? Do you all see where I'm going with that, connecting those dots? That's what we need prayer to be. And if we're not there yet, what do we got to do? We got to work on it, right? Because listen, I promise you, okay, let's do this as an example. If your prayer life that you have right now, we're like breathing or like a heartbeat, how many of you would be dead? Yeah. Because what do we often do? We forget to pray. Or we let other things get in the way of praying. And by the way, if something gets in the way of your heart beating, you know what they call that? A heart attack. Okay? You know what happens when you have a heart attack? You die. All right? If something gets in the way of you breathing, guess what happens? Yeah, you cease to be on this world, right? And you're in heaven with Jesus. And I guess that's not a bad thing, but in due time, right? Now, prayer is critical. Prayer is imperative. prayer is important. And so we've got to understand that we need to understand these elements. So far, we've talked about our Father. That's an important element of prayer. We have talked about hallowed be thy name. God's name is to be hallowed, is to be reverenced. God is to be feared. The name of God ought to be something that means something to us. Thy kingdom come. God's kingdom is what ought to be at our forefront or top of our priority list. Remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God. All right, everybody understand that principle? And then we talked about the will of God. Thy will be done. As Jesus prayed in the garden, not my will, but as thou wilt, ought to be our prayer, ought to be our attitude, ought to be our sentiment in our lives. And then in verse 3, in Matthew chapter, or excuse me, in Luke chapter 11, the next element was give us day by day our daily bread. And we talked about how God is supposed to be the source of our supply. No matter what we need, no matter what happens, we should go to God. Yeah, listen, we some of us just had the privilege of eating a donut. You know who supplied the donut? God did. Through one of our dear church members. You say, well, we should praise and honor the church member for bringing the donuts. No, we should praise and honor the God who provided for that church member to be able to provide the donuts. Mrs. Dart loves to be accoladed and embarrassed. Right, Mrs. Dart? No, she hates it. But this lovely lady, she makes things for the teenagers almost every week. Who gave her that ability? God did. And God provided for their family the resources to be able to provide for the teenagers. And listen, so who provides for the teenagers every week? God does. Do you see where we're going with this? That's how we ought to think. God give us this day, right? And then we say, God, forgive us our sins, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This thing of forgiveness is a very critical element of prayer. How many of you need forgiveness? Yeah. How many of you know people that need forgiveness? No, I mean, I'm not saying that rudely. I mean, people offend you, right? People wrong you. People do things because that's what people do. So guess what? You do wrong things, so you need to be forgiven, right? And they do wrong things, and so they need to be forgiven. Well, who's the source of that forgiveness? God is. Because ultimately, whether someone is out to hurt you, or you're out to hurt someone, who is the one that ultimately forgives? God is the one. Okay? Because even though, let's say, Brother Jason does something to hurt me. You're just right there. I caught you out of the corner of my eye. Brother Jason does something to hurt me. Is he accountable to me for that? Or is he accountable to God for that? He's accountable to God for that. So, as God forgives me, I forgive Jason. You see how that works? The Bible says that we're supposed to forgive as Christ Jesus has forgiven us, right? So that all comes back to God. So as we stand in right relationship with God, then we can be, by the way, we can't be in right relationship with God without being in right relationship with others. So we have to forgive, and God will forgive us. And that is a critical element, and it's included in the idea of prayer. Because by the way, I hope you're noticing something. That in all of these elements, to whom is all this directed? To God. Okay? I'm not praying to some human being, right? By the way, there are religions out there that you pray to a person so that they can intercede to God for you. That's not how it works. Okay? Please don't anybody pray to me. All right? You won't get anything. I promise that. This is our dealings with God. Look here in Matthew, if you're still there, from reading here in a moment. But I want you to understand that as Jesus talks about this, he says to his to the disciples, by the way, look at verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So what is this prayer is between us and God? Okay? And so this has to do with us. Now, look at what it says in the next verse. So far, we have give us this day, give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And then he says this, and lead us not into temptation. Now, this is an interesting thing, is it not? But once again, what is the primary principle here? What is the prayer asking? For God's leading, right? Lead us, God, right? You're asking God to lead you what? Not into temptation. So we want God to not lead us in the path of temptation. Now let me ask you a question. Is temptation a thing that God does? It's not, okay? God, the Bible tells us, we're going to read this verse in a moment, but God does not ever tempt any man to do evil. All right? But what does God do allow? He does allow those temptations in our lives for our betterment. Everybody okay with that? You say, what do you mean? Well, for instance, the Bible says that God led Abraham, right, to Mount Moriah, and it uses the word tempt. Okay, you understand that, right? Did anybody study that word out? Okay? So God wasn't trying to get Abraham to do something evil. He was testing Abraham. Abraham, are you going to do this or are you not, right? And by the way, God was in control of that whole circumstance, was he not? Okay? So think about this. As we pray and we're talking to God about temptation, we learn in the scriptures that temptation is one of those things that leads us to sin against God. Why would God lead us to sin against him? The answer is he wouldn't. Everybody okay with that? But here's what we're doing. We are still putting our hands or our lives in God's hands. When we pray, lead us not into temptation, we're still allowing God to be the leader. Everybody okay with that? Because what's the alternative? God, help me not to lead myself into temptation. Right? Everybody okay with that? Who's the one that's tempted? We are. Okay? So what are we doing? Instead of saying, all right, I'm strong. I'm able. I know the devil's devices. By the way, we're going to talk about this in just a moment. Who in the scriptures is called the tempter? Okay, the devil is. Okay, that's his title. That's one of his titles. Now, by the way, we say, okay, I can take on the devil. You heard my idea about this, right? You understand that not all bus songs are scriptural. Okay? They sing, how many of you have ever been a part of this one? Right? Down by the river, took a little walk, met up with the devil. And we had a little talk. I pushed him in the river and I hung him on the line. We can beat the devil any old time. Okay. I mean, it's a great hoorah-rah song, but it's not very scriptural. Now, I want you to notice the attitude of this prayer. We're before God, right? We've humbled ourselves in His presence. We're acknowledging His place. We're reverencing Him. We're hallowing His name, right? His will, His kingdom, all of these things. And we're saying, God, provide for us. Sustain us. You, God, you take, you're the King. You're the Father. You take care of us. God, you forgive us as we forgive others. Okay, but God, the focus is on you. God, you provide the forgiveness. And by the way, isn't it God who provides us the ability to forgive others? So again, so who is all being acknowledged? Who is the one that is being looked to? It's God. This continues where we ask Him, lead us not into temptation. The whole idea of this element of prayer is for God to continue to have the leadership in our lives. Not for us to say, well, you know, God, since you provided for me and I've acknowledged you and you're the King and the God of my life, the Heavenly Father that I serve, but I am a strong, productive, vibrant, servant. I have abilities, I have talents, I have confidence, and I can take on the devil. And I can whoop up on this old world, and I can handle whatever temptations come my way. Do you see the attitude here? No, we can't. And we ought to pray that God protect us from those temptations. Because let me just say this. You don't ever know what temptation will make you stumble. I know we should be confident, but we're confident not in us, but in Christ. But don't ask for the temptations to come by. Don't be that silly. The devil is a roaring lion. And by the way, he's a more than worthy adversary. And you ought not to want to challenge him. The Bible actually says flee. The Bible says resist. The Bible says neither give place to the devil. To eschew evil like Job did was mean to turn your back on, to get away from it. Well, we ought to want to get away from temptation. We ought to be asking God, lead us not into temptation. By the way, temptation is out there. God's people have always gone through temptation. You understand that in Psalm 95, David is writing and he's talking about the great God and great King above all gods. And he talks about the people of God. He says, for He is our God. This is in Psalm 95. And we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. So, you understand, that's a truth. We're His people. If you're born again, you're God's child. You're God's servant. You're His people. You're called by His name. He is the great God. He is the great King. He's above all little g gods. He is our God. David writes and says, today, if ye will hear His voice, He says, harden not your heart as in the provocation. Now, you know, that's talking about when the children of Israel were going through that time of the wilderness, right? Being delivered from Egypt and being brought up to the promised land. They sent the spies in. The spies came back. 10 were bad and 2 were good. They tempted God, right? And they said, no, we're not going in. So what did God do? He sent them through the wilderness. And He grieved over their generation, the Bible tells us. We need to understand that God is a righteous judge. This was a people that erred in their heart and they didn't know God's ways, and He swore unto them, if you will, that in His wrath, they should not enter into His rest. Why? Because they didn't trust God. Because they didn't say to God, lead us not into temptation. They didn't give those rights over to Him. And as we pray for God to lead us not into temptation, we are saying, God, our lives are in Your hands. By the way, you'll notice that there's a comma and a but after this statement. But deliver us from evil. So not only are we asking for God's leadership, but we're also asking for God's deliverance. So that's going to be next week's element, by the way. Okay, just so you understand. Here's some things about this thing of temptation. Right? Jesus tried to teach His disciples about temptation. Remember this in Matthew 26, and I'll read the portion in Luke as well. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith He unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, watch with me. And He went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. And He cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? I want you to listen to this phrase that Jesus says. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, I hope you understand, this is Matthew 26. Everybody okay with the timeline here? When did Jesus teach His disciples to pray? Matthew chapter 6. So 20 chapters later, Jesus is telling them, watch and pray that ye enter not into. What did He teach them? Lead us not into temptation. Praying to God. Over in Luke 22, Mark 14, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Luke 22, and He said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. So we have all of these things. Now, as far as that was Mark and Luke, think about back to Matthew. Same chapter, in verses 36 to 46 is when He encourages them to watch and pray that they enter not into temptation. All right, so that's going to be 20 verses later. 20 verses later, Peter enters into temptation. So because Peter did not watch and pray, Peter did not say, lead me not into temptation. 20 verses later, what happens? The temptation comes. What temptation? Well, now Peter sat without in the palace. A damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied with an oath. Uh-oh. I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said unto Peter, surely thou art also one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Let me ask you a question. Why did Peter fail? Because he was weak? No, Peter was pretty strong. Was Peter a good Christian? Most likely. Probably better than you and I, right? What was his fault? Not praying. Not praying. You say, but that's pretty basic. That's pretty simple. Yes, it's pretty basic and pretty simple. Why do we fail? Because the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So what do we need to do? Pray. Pray lest ye enter into temptation. Are those not Jesus' words in three different passages of Scripture? Yes. And in Luke chapter 11? Yes. In Matthew chapter 6? Yes. When Jesus was faced with a difficult decision, God in the flesh, on this earth, about to give his life, what did he resort to? Prayer. What should we resort to? Because we're not him. Prayer. He told his disciples. He tried to equip them. He taught them how to pray. He reminded them that prayer was the key to escape temptation. How are we, in our weak flesh, going to make it through without his help? Without his leadership. When I try to take on temptation, one-on-one combat, I lose. Do you know why? Because I'm weak. My flesh is weak. Just like your flesh is weak. You don't have to admit this publicly, but listen to me. I'll admit it publicly for you. When I face temptation one-on-one, I usually give in to the temptation. You know why? Because I'm a man. I'm weak. I'm but flesh. But you know when I succeed? When I succeed is when I'm in fellowship with him. When I ask him, lead us not into temptation. When I'm in tune with God, when I pray and the temptation bombards me and God gives me a way to escape, that way to escape is through him. Listen to these verses today. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes and says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Oh, doesn't that just ring true to this principle? If we say, I can handle temptation, guaranteed, you're going down. No, it's Lord, lead us not to temptation. He says, therefore hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. That should be a thankfulness there, okay? You should be, boy, it's not just me. By the way, a long time ago I learned I'm not the only one. But God, wait a minute, Paul says this, but God is faithful. Doesn't that give credence to the whole thing of this element? Lead us not into temptation. You're not faithful. You're suspect. You can falter. You can fail. You can sin against God. You can give in to the flesh. God cannot. He's faithful. The Bible says that God is faithful who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear. By the way, how can we escape without his guidance? Who makes the way of escape? He does.
By the way, who's going to show us the way how to escape? He is. And how are we going to escape? With him as our guide. Lead us not into temptation. God wants to be with us. He wants to help us. He will help us if we come to him. Paul writes in Galatians 6, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are strong, restore such a one." "Ye which are..." What does it mean to be spiritual? Anyone? In tune with God is spiritual. Right with God is spiritual. God in leadership of our lives is spiritual. The man that's overtaken in the fault by just the simple deduction of the scriptures is not spiritual. Everybody okay with that? So how does he escape? How does he overcome? Spiritual. Having God be the leader, that's how it is. I love what he says. He says about this, "Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness." That's important, right? Someone who's meek acknowledges that they're not strong, right? So we need to understand that this meekness is important. Submitting ourselves before God, letting God be the leader. He says, "Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." So what's the danger? That we can always be tempted by the same things. Because what are we? We are but man. Then he says this, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." Remember, we studied in in 1 Timothy, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know what? If you pray, "Lead us not into temptation," you're allowing God to be the leader. And guess what? You may not be rich. But you know what? That's okay. You'll be rich in God, won't you? You'll be rich in spiritual treasures, spiritual things. I kind of figured a long time ago that if I had millions of dollars, I probably wouldn't serve God. You know how I came to that conclusion? I came to that conclusion because God has never given me millions of dollars. And guess what? He knows better than I do. Me. God's not going to lead us into temptation. We ought to pray that he doesn't lead us into temptation. I want you to listen to what he says to the church here in Revelation chapter 3. He says, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Does Jesus want to protect us from the hour of temptation? He does. What does he want us to do? Hold fast. When we kneel before God in prayer and we say, "Lead us not into temptation," we are submitting ourselves before God. We're placing ourselves in His care. We are allowing Him to be the leader. And by the way, just because we pray, lead us not into temptation, doesn't mean that temptations aren't going to come. That's why that second part is there. But deliver us from evil. By the way, if God leads us and the temptations still come, where do we still trust? In God. He's our leader. By the way, if through that path, think of Peter. Did God hate Peter? No. Did God still allow that temptation to come in his life? Yes. Why? There was a purpose. Don't forget that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. But what is the essence then? It's not really about the temptation, is it? What it's about is our position before God. Lead us not into temptation. As we close today, I want you to think about this. What Solomon says. Solomon says in Proverbs 1, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, and let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof." In Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon again writes and says, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings. And the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." I hope you understand that as Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the devil, Matthew tells us that when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, do this. If thou be the Son of God, do that. If thou be the Son of God, do this." What the devil tries to appeal to is our pride. What does lead us not into temptation vanquish? Our pride. Because now who's the leader? He is. Who are we leaning on? Him. Who are we trusting? Him. When we stand up and we answer the call, when the devil says, "Hey, you're a child of God." "Well, yes, I am." "Oh, hey, you're strong in the Lord." "Well, yes, I am." "Well, you're righteous, you're holy, you're a good example." "Well, yes, I am. I can beat the devil. I can beat temptation." Now he's got us. He appeals to our pride. When we are in constant reminder that it's God, lead us not into temptation, we stay humble where we need to be and avoid the paths of Satan. We avoid those paths of temptation. We do like Solomon says, and we don't even go by it. We turn away. We don't even go that direction. We don't give place to the devil. We resist the devil. We flee from the devil. It's not even a problem because we're so focused on God. And it happens through prayer. We need to pray. Lord, lead us not into temptation. I love this verse in James. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And lead us not into temptation.